What's going on, everyone, and welcome back to the Surprise Jab Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Ruger, spicing with new topics every single week and jabbing you with your daily dose of UFC. And we are fresh off of UFC Shanghai. It was a lot of fun. I can't lie. It was pretty chaotic having to wake up early, but I was able to catch some of UFC Shanghai. Other than that, I went back and watched all the other clips and highlights from most of the fights. But on today's episode, we will be recapping all the action from UFC Shanghai. We went 7-5 on predictions, including 4-1 on the main card, which isn't too shabby. Also, going to be dropping our Dana White's Contender Series Season 9, Episode 3 predictions. We did pretty good last week. Got a lot of interesting matchups again this week. And we're going to also be talking about some new UFC fights. A lot of fun stuff on today's episode. But I've been working the Minnesota State Fair this year, guys. That's right. I've been in need of some money. So we have been working the Minnesota State Fair. And it has been pretty hectic, I tell you. It has just been a lot. You know, I'm working at the pickle stand, which is one of the top three vendors at the fair. So it is just 100 miles an hour. But my buddies do work there, so that's been pretty good. My friend's dad owns it, so of course I was going to get a little position there. But I'll just tell you, you know, anyone out there working in kitchens, frying food, working in the food industry, I now feel your pain. I pretty much hit the trifecta of hitting retail, hitting the office job, hitting the fast food, if you want to call it that. So, I mean, I'm getting all the experience in my short little time here on Earth, but no need to talk about my experiences. I'm here to talk about some other fighters' experiences because we have some new UFC fights to tell you all about. We have eight new fights. We haven't spoken in a while, so we've had a plethora of new fights to discuss with you all. So without further ado, let's dive right on into it. With starters, UFC Vancouver going down October 18th has a new matchup in the women's bantamweight division. We always need new women's bantamweights as the debuting Melissa Scarecrowden will take on Tanera Taipanter Lisboa. Tanera Lisboa is 2-1 in the UFC, wins over Jessica Rose Clark and Ravina Oliveira. Taking on the debuting Melissa Crowden, she is 6-2 from Canada. She was born in 1991, that's all we have on her, and she won a title in the PAWFC Fighting League, so very interestingly enough. Melissa, I'm always looking for new people to break into the women's bantamweight division, so I will always predict the new debuting woman to win this. This should be probably the second, maybe even the first fight of the prelims. So, hey, Melissa can maybe break in, and if Tanera wins, she'll be 3-1, so let's get her a shot in the rankings. Next up, we have our second official fight for UFC Vegas 110 going down November 1st. This one in the men's featherweight division as Isaac the Midwest Chapa Dalgarian is finally back as he takes on Yadier the Cuban Problem Del Valle. Yadier absolutely starched Connor Matthews in his debut, and now he's a perfect 9-0. He'll be taking on a former prospect in himself, that is Isaac Dalgarian. 2-1 in the UFC, 7-1 professionally, wins over Brendan Morota and Francis Marshall, was unfortunately humbled just ridiculously by none other than Christian Rodriguez, who just always loves to humble prospects. But Isaac is super talented, he's super good. I believe he was linked to the Nelk Boys for some reason and nothing came of that, and there was like some beef there or something, I don't know. But Yadier, coming from Cuba, undefeated. Isaac, he's from the Midwest. You know his nickname, the Midwest Chopper. This should be a fun one. This could maybe even sneak on to this UFC Vegas 110 main card, but for sure, well, might be on the prelims. Next matchup that we do have official. This one of the biggest ones. I think it is probably, honestly, I think it is the biggest matchup that we've had announced, and it is UFC Noche, the number 9 ranked bantamweight Rob Font welcomes to the rankings a ranked opportunity against Raul Rosas Jr. Crazy. Absolutely crazy. Raul is 11-1, 5-1 in the UFC, and he was born in 2004. That is right. And if you do some quick math, how old is he? That is right. He is 20 years old. That's right. His birthday is in October. He is 20 years old. And no, mind you, he's beaten Ricky Tercios, Vince Morales, Mando Gutierrez. You know, he has gotten past everyone they've thrown at him. But nonetheless, I mean, this is just such a jump. And they clearly see something in Raul. They clearly see a stylistic advantage he has over Rod Font, which is in grappling. So I don't know if they're going to try and exploit that to some degree, but Rob Font, 12-7 in the UFC. This will be his 20th UFC fight, 31st professional fight with a record of 22-8. And, you know, he's coming off a win over Kyler Phillips. Before that, he picked up a Another win over someone unranked that's just not coming to mind. Was it Adrian Yanez? That was back in 2023, I swear. But Rob Font is on a little two-fight winning streak, and with a win here, he'd be on a three-fight winning streak, which would propel him to finally fight up for the first time in a while. Rob hasn't really been doing too much of late after having main events against Cody Garbrandt and Jose Aldo back in the 2021 era. So this will be a big win for him if he can get it done, but especially for Raul, because they definitely want him to win. 11-1, I think he has 8 finishes, maybe 9. But so far, 6 fights in the UFC, been a killer. I'm excited to see that matchup. UFC Perth has a new heavyweight matchup as Louis Sutherland will make his UFC debut. The Vanilla Gorilla is 10-3, and he hails from Scotland and England. They kind of just say he hails from both. Won a title in LFL and Fight Star Championship, so this is a certified fighter. He'll be taking on the bad man, Justin Tafa, who is 7-5 professionally, 4-5 in the UFC, and has just done nothing as of late. Justin Tafa has been utterly embarrassing. I mean, it's been rough. It's been rough getting starched by Talashon Teixeira. I can't remember the last fight he had, but it was probably abysmal. Oh, yeah, he got out-grappled. I remember. Was it Austin Lane beat him or something? I can't even remember. But, dude, Justin Tafa has just had such a career downward spiral. I'm easily going to ride with Louis Sutherland. But, hey, we're in Perth. Maybe Justin Tafa can turn back the clock, get a victory. But we'll have to see. Wouldn't be a Perth card without Jack Jenkins, as the featherweight will take on Ramon Tavares, also in Perth on September 27th. Jack Jenkins, 13-4 professionally, 3-2 in the UFC. He has some fun wins over Jamal Emmers, Don Chaney, and Herbert Burns, but as of late, just been running into some, you know, unfortunate fights. You know, obviously getting injured against, I want to say, was it Chepe Mariscal? I want to say it was Chepe Mariscal beat him. And then, of course, Gabriel Santos submitted him earlier this year. But good opportunity to bounce back against the 1-1 in the UFC. The 10-3 Ramon the Savage Tavares. His only win is over Sirhei Sadeh. But he also does hold a win over UFC fighter Cortavious Romeo. So there's another notable name on his record. Ramon, his only loss is to David Grant, so not too bad of a defeat there. This one should be pretty closely contested, but I am leaning more towards Jack Jenkins. He's got the UFC experience. He's only been in dogfights, and for Ramon, he hasn't really been tested on the same level. Plus, Jack has to win in Paris, or not Paris, has to win in Perth this time. He lost earlier this year, which was just heartbreaking, I have to say. UFC Noche, September 13th, new middleweight matchup as Kelvin Gastelum, going back up in weight to middleweight, will be taking on Dustin Stolfus. Dustin Stolfus has just had a horrible, horrible UFC run. 3-6. Yikes. No idea how this guy's still in the company. Some of his highlights, I would have to say, are getting a knockout over Marc-Andre Barriot, getting a finish over Punele Soriano. He technically owns a TKO over Joe Pyfer, but it's due to Joe breaking his arm. But I know him for Abus Magomedov knocking him out in 19 seconds. That's all I know from him. As for Kelvin, yeah. Legend of the game, Kelvin Gastelum, won the Ultimate Fighter Season 17, holds wins over Michael Bisping, Vitor Belfort, Ronaldo Souza. You know, this is a very talented guy, but I think his last win was Chris Curtis, perhaps. Daniel Rodriguez, actually, did he beat Daniel Rodriguez? I think that was his last win. I don't really know what's been going on with Kelvin, but this is a winnable fight for both men. It'll just depend who shows up to actually fight. Two more matchups to bring to you guys. UFC Perth has a 16th or 17th fight being added to the card here in the middleweight division as Andre Petroski takes on Cam Baljaraf Ronston. Cam Ronston becoming the second fighter from Season 9 to already get a UFC fight. We already saw Bosanjer Sursikev absolutely dominate, all right, in his victory at UFC 319, but they want to get Cam on this Perth card, and they are doing it. I hate to say it, I don't think he's going to beat Andre. I know he obviously is a much better striker than Andre Petroski. Andre has only struggled with strikers, and that's so far what's happened is 3 defeats against Jacob Malcoon. Who else did? Michelle Pereira. So who else did Andre lose to? I can't even remember, but Andre, you know, he's coming off a win over Edmund Shabazian, and that's good. Does hold wins over Rodolfo Vieira and Gerald Meerschaert, but Cam is either going to win this on the feet, or Andre's going to take him down and maybe submit him. But happy to see Cam already making his UFC debut, and happy to see Andre back. He's 8-3. He's been one of the best workhorses to come from the recent seasons of The Ultimate Fighter, and this should be a fun matchup nonetheless. And the final matchup that we have recently announced, UFC 320, gets its final main card matchup as the number 8-ranked Josh Emmett takes on the number 9-ranked Yusuf Zalal. This is going to be a fantastic matchup. Yusuf recently beat Calvin Kattar. Yeah, it's Calvin Kattar. I was trying to think who he recently fought to break into UFC rankings again, and he's 17-5, and he's just been on an absolute tear. I think his win streak's at either 6 or 7 right now. Professionally, it's been amazing. As for Josh Emmett, I mean, main event loss to Lerone Murphy. After seeing what Lerone did to, Aaron Pico, yeah, Josh Emmett really could still hang with the boys. Now, Josh is 40 years old. You know, his time has come. Yusuf is 4 years younger than him. So, scratch that. He's 9 years younger than him. Yusuf is only 31. I read 96 as 91. So, yeah, Yusuf coming in much younger. And this is just going to be the biggest fight of his UFC career. So, if he can get it done, he'll break into the top 10. I know he is ranked number 9 now, but this truly feels like his actual shot to break into the top 10. And as for Josh Emmett, he still packs that knockout power. But those are all your new UFC fights that we have had announced. A lot of fights for Noche, Perth. I mean, pretty much the Paris card is all but settled in. That goes down September 6th, but we're just still waiting on other fights to be announced here and there. So, without ado, I say we keep things moving, and we talk about Season 9, Episode 3 of Dan West Contender Series. We're already on Episode 3, and we are here to predict every single matchup that's going to go down and just kind of preview it for everyone who is interested. So, without further ado, goes down this upcoming Tuesday, August 26th. Let's look at it. First off, heavyweight division is where we go as we have Dante Lockjaw Johnson taking on Darien Abbey. Neither of these guys have fought in the UFC before, so this will be their first time fighting under a UFC promotion. I know you could basically say like LFA, Cage Warriors are linked to the UFC, but you know, it's pretty much either Road to the UFC, Damas Contender Series, or an official UFC fight is under UFC promotion. So let's start off with Darien Abbey, who is 6'6". He is a tall heavyweight, 32 years old from Florida, is currently on a 3-fight winning streak. He has 4 KOs and 2 subs out of his 9 wins. Oh, I actually think it's 5 KOs. Tapeology had him only with a record of 7-2. I want to say, or 7-4, but I think his professional record is actually 9-4. His last win was in March, and all of his losses, all 4 of his losses, he's been finished in 3 by KO, 1 by sub. And the last time he ever lost was actually to Tim Johnson. That's right, the Tim Johnson who used to fight for heavyweight championships, who fought Fedor Emelianenko for the Bellator Championship. Yeah, Tim Johnson. He's also has fought in kickboxing. He has a 3-2 kickboxing record, and he's 2-0 in Bare Knuckle FC. And I did watch one of his fights he posted on his Instagram, and he looks pretty good. I'll tell you, he's a very, you know, standstill style. He really likes to hang in the pocket. He likes to mix up sometimes, and kind of made the guy quit he fought last time on the stool. Orthodox fighting style, he is a natural heavyweight, I will add, as his opponent, Lockjaw Dante Johnson, fights in the southpaw and has historically fought at 205 pounds. That's right. Dante Johnson, normally a light heavyweight, is moving up to heavyweight for this contest. He is 6 feet tall, so you're going to see a 6'6" height advantage here for Darien Abbey. He is from Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, and of his 5 wins, he has 5 KOs. That's right, he is 5-0 undefeated. He's had 4 fights this year in March, April, June, and July, so this will be his 5th fight of the year. Strength of schedule, I'll tell you that. This guy debuted professionally in September of 2024, so in less than a year, he has somehow debuted professionally and is now fighting on Dan White's Contender Series. This is a very close matchup. I could see either guy going out. I don't really have much to go off of. Darien has obviously much more experience, has fought in tougher competition. When I look at both guys, you know, I made my picks based on appearance. I lean towards Darien, and simply because he has more experience, I am going to go with Darien Abbey here to get the better of Dante Johnson. I think Dante might even gas out. I don't know if he's going to feel heavier or more natural at heavyweight, but I'm going to go with the 6'6" monster that is Darien Abbey. Next up, we head to the men's lightweight division as Christian El Puaz Perez takes on Manuel Manumito Sosa. I got some goofy nicknames, I'll say that for certain. Christian Perez, 13-1, Manuel Sosa, 12-1. These two are very similar. Both naturally fight at lightweight, both stand in the orthodox fighting position. And Christian is 26, Manuel is 28, respectively. These two are very, very similar. We'll start with Christian Perez. He's 26 years old from Mexico, and he trains out of the Goat Shed. That is right. The Goat Shed has fighters such as Aileen Perez, top 10 women's bantamweight, Jillian Robertson, top 10 women's flyweight, I want to say maybe actually top 10 women's strawweight, and Ramiro Jimenez, who recently won on episode 1 of Dana White's Contender Series this season. So a lot of fighters that we are going to be seeing in the UFC come out of here. Of his 13 wins, he has, what is it? Where are my little notes here? Gosh, I cannot see. I write so terribly sometimes. 4 KOs and 6 subs. 10 of his 13 wins are by finish. And his last fight was in December of 2023. So it has been almost 2 years since we have seen Christian last fight, which I don't know if that's going to impact him too much. But Christian, 26, he's young, 13-1, pretty good record, and he trains out of a very good gym. His opponent, Manuel Sosa, is 28 years old from Brazil. He also has 10 finishes of his 12 victories, 7 KOs and 3 subs. And he is, 2025 LFA. Oh, he has a 2025 LFA win. I have no idea what my notes are here. I'm so sorry. Usually when I write down my notes for these fights, I always like write it down. I'm like, oh, I'll remember what I'm gonna say, but usually it's just so goofy. I think he got a win in 2025 in LFA. LFA is a very good promotion. He also had a karate combat loss in 2024. Besides that, his last fight before 2025 was in 2023. Okay, so this is just showing his inactivity. He's averaging like one MMA fight of some sort every single year. That's what you need to know about Manuel Sosa. And here's the craziest fact on Manuel Sosa is he holds a win over Mauricio Ruffi. That is right. Mauricio Ruffi, who is in the co-main event against Wadwase Tadi, he holds a knockout win over here back in 2019. So that win is aged like fine wine, which is why I am going to go with Manuel Sosa here. He has been more active than Christian Perez, and I think that is going to benefit Amir. And by the way, this karate combat loss, which he had in 2024, that was by decision, not points. So Manuel Sosa coming in, doing pretty good, 12-1. We'll see how he performs in the UFC. From heavyweight to lightweight, and now all the way back up to light heavyweight, we head to our third matchup on the card as my favorite name on the entire card, Abdulrahman Yakmayev, the Hunter, takes on Alik Lorenz. But Basinger Sursagiv's nickname was Hunter. Abdulrahman is copying him. That's all I'm going to say about that. So, Abdul, 6-0. Alik Lorenz, 6-1. Both are natural light heavyweights. Both stand in the orthodox fighting position. And Alik is 28 years old. Abdul is 24. Crazy enough. Wow, 24 years old. He was born in 2001, January. Alik Lorenz, the 6-1 light heavyweight, is from Iowa. He's currently on a 5-fight winning streak. The 28-year-old has all of 6 of his wins coming by finish, 5 KOs and 1 sub. His last fight was in November of 2024. And by the way, his only professional defeat is to Darian Abbey. I think that is just so weird. Darian Abbey, who is opening the card against Dante Johnson, that's the only guy Alik Lorenz has lost to. So clearly he's only lost to a super good fighter in Darian Abbey, if you want to call him a super good fighter, but certainly an experienced fighter. Alik, good enough. He's from Iowa. He's on a little win streak. He is coming in hungry and ready. His opponent, Abdulrahman Yakyayev, is 24 years old, born in Czechia, now fights out of Turkey. Of his 6 wins, he has 5 finishes, 2 KOs, and 3 subs. His last fight was in September of 2024. He is undefeated. He is from Chechnya. He is from Turkey. Yeah. We're picking him. Yeah, I'm just kidding you not. It's as simple as that. I do say that age gap, the 20 to 24, may prove, you know, to be a bit of a advantage for Alik Lorenz. But honestly, size-wise, they are very similar height and reach. And Abdulrahman Yakyayev just screams, I'm going to grapple you and submit you to death. That is exactly what I think is going to happen in this contest. So we're going to go with Abdulrahman, the Hunter. That's our prediction. With that, we get into our second to last matchup of the evening as we drop down to featherweight as Damon the Nomad Wilson takes on Marcio Tuquito Barbosa. Marcio Barbosa is 16-2. He is the most veteran fighter on this card with 18 professional fights already under his belt. Fights out of the orthodox fighting position. He is 27 years old. Currently on a 3-fight winning streak. The Brazilian has 15 of his 16 wins by finish, 13 KOs and 2 subs. That's crazy. Both of his defeats have came by knockout. His last loss was to Gabriel Santos in 2022. That's right. Gabriel Santos is just on the verge of the men's featherweight rankings. He recently beat Jack Jenkins, as we mentioned earlier in the episode. He's currently on a 3-straight round 1 knockout streak. All those fights coming in LFA. So Marcio Barbosa clearly a veteran, clearly experienced, and this is going to be a big hill to climb. For the 9-2, Damon Wilson. Damon is 32 years old from San Diego and actually trains out of Alliance MMA. Dominic Cruz, Jeremy Steffens, Alexander Gustafsson, a lot of notable names that have trained there or currently train there. And of his nine wins, he has 6 KOs and one. Oh no, he only has 6 KOs, and one of his 2 defeats has came by knockout. Currently on a 3-fight winning streak, all of his fights have came in Cage Warriors. Yeah, usually I would probably go with Damon Wilson, trains at a good gym, has fought in Cage Warriors for all 11 of his professional bouts, has a good amount of finishes, but 16-2, fighting out of Brazil, the experience is crazy, and he has 15 of his 16 wins by finish. We are going to go with Marcio Barbosa to get another knockout on the record. I have a feeling we're going to get a lot of finishes, a lot more contracts on this card. There's always like a fire lit under guys after the disappointment that is episode 1 of Dana White's Contender Series. So Marcio Barbosa, our official prediction here. But Damon Wilson, if he wins, I will not be surprised. Fights out of a good promotion, fights out of a good gym. We'll have to see. With that, we get into our spotlight, our premium, if you want to even call it, the main event for the middleweight division. That is Trent the Terminator Miller and Ryan Problema Gondra. Trent Miller's 8-2, Ryan Gondra 7-1. Both men naturally fight in the middleweight division, and both men stand in the orthodox fighting position. If you want me to make it even better, both men are 30 years old. They are very similar height and reach-wise. They're about as good as you can make it. Now, Ryan Gondra was supposed to fight Vitor Costa, so Trent Miller is actually stepping in here on short notice. Trent is 30 years old on a 2-fight winning streak, and he fights out of Extreme Couture. That's right, Chris Curtis, Sean Strickland, Juliana Rosa. You also have Manel Cape. They all fight out of Extreme Couture. There's a lot of fighters that fight out of Extreme Couture. He has 6 KOs and 1 sub of his, 8 career victories. And he's currently on a, both of his defeats have came by sub. Okay, so if you're going to beat Trent Miller anywhere, it's in the submission department. His last win was in May. Alrighty, there we are. Trent Miller fighting out of Extreme Couture. Now, the man who is always going to be on this card, that is the man from Brazil, Ryan Gondra, on a 6-fight winning streak of his 7 victories, 3 KOs, and 2 subs. Now, anything really happened in this one? Dude is on a 6-fight winning streak of his 7 victories. His 1 defeat was a decision. I mean, I'm just going to simply go off of the fact that this is short notice and that Ryan Gondra was always supposed to be on the card, that we are going to pick Ryan Gondra. Now, I will say, if Vitor Costa had been in, I would have picked Vitor. So I do want to say that if Vitor Costa had ended up fighting Ryan, I would have picked Vitor over Ryan. But since it is short notice, since Ryan has been, I think, more ready for this fight, I am going to go with Ryan Gondra. Now, I can see Trent Miller pulling off the upset. We already saw Ty Miller win, you know, on episode 1, so maybe we get another Miller getting a victory, but this should be a really good episode. I'm really excited for the heavyweight and light heavyweight matchups on this card, and especially for guys like Marcio Barbosa, who has a lot of experience. I'm excited to see that, and even Christian Perez, who fights out of the Goat Shed. I think that should be a very fun matchup as well, but that's all we got for our Dana White's Contender Series, Episode 3. We'll be back later in the week to recap everything and discuss what went down. As well, I'm going to be dropping my Clash in Paris predictions. That WWE PLE, which is actually the final one on Peacock, goes down this Saturday. But I'll tell you what also went down this past Saturday, and that was none other than UFC Shanghai. A lot of action happened, a lot of interesting things, a lot of realizations, a lot of shocking moments. We got a lot to talk about. Without further ado, let's dive into your official UFC Shanghai recap. Now, the fact that this card did go down at 2 in the morning and I just stayed up way too late the night before, I'm pretty sure I went to bed at like 1, like there was no shot I was going to be able to watch this, but I did set an alarm. I woke up and I was able to actually catch the final 3 matchups, kind of like the 4th on this card, watching it live. And I do have to say, I was watching it in a half like a sleep state, which made it super funny. Like, I remember I thought Johnny Walker versus Zhang Yang had been going on for 40 minutes and I look and it's still in round 1. Like, it was the weirdest experience ever. Same for Sergey Pavlovich, Walter Cortes Acosta, Brian Ortega, and Aljamain Sterling. Like, I thought those matchups were going on forever. ever, which in all reality, those two were. But we kicked off the card with a finish, which is always just amazing. I always love when cards open with finishes, and it was in the light heavyweight division as Yuron Satibaldiev made quick work of Dyar Nurgose, and we predicted this. We predicted Yuron would make quick work of him, which I always love predicting. Yuron goes in, drops him with a straight, immediately gets on top, locks in an Ezekiel choke. That's right, Ezekiel chokes in 2025. It is still relevant as he submits Dyar Nurgose. Yuron getting his second career submission. Good stuff, Yuron. And I knew when this guy lost a short notice decision to Martin Boudet that he was easily going to bounce back. I just had a feeling. And by the way, that was up in weight. This one going down at light heavyweight. This one was perfect. And he gets a performance of the night. Good stuff for Yuron Satibaldiev. As for Dyar Nurgose, that I think will do it. Two fights in 2025, submitted in both of them, just dropped in both of them with one shot. I mean, there's really nothing left for me to see from Dyar Nurgose. If anything, we're talking about some light heavyweights that are on Dana White's Contender Series. I kid you not, someone like Darian Abbey, Dante Johnson, Alec Lorenz, Abdul Rakhon, Yakyaev, any of those guys who win, they could fight Dyar Nurgose in their debut. Whether heavyweight, whether light heavyweight, they could fight him in their debut just to get a victory. But Yuron, excellent win here. And now we look from where does he go from here. Now we look at light heavyweight matchups he can actually take part in. So who could that be? Well, there's going to be guys like Ibo Aslan. There's going to be guys like Junior Tafa, especially whoever wins that. I think them versus Yuron would be a fun matchup. You're going to have guys like Alonzo Menafield who are going to win or lose, Ion Kutalabas. You're going to have guys that are going to lose or even win, and they can match up with Yuron Satibaldiev. But 31 years old, he's from Kyrgyzstan, and yeah, I think he'll be back again, and he gets Ezekiel choke to open the card. Next up, bantamweight division, as Su Song Yu took on Zhao Long, and this fight pissed me off so bad. This was one where Zhao Long ended the fight just on absolute fire, and he didn't get the nod. So round one was so close. It could have gone either way, but all judges saw it for Su Yong Yu, sadly. Zhao Long outstruck him 11-10 significantly. Su Yong Yu outstruck him 12-11 in total strikes, and he failed on two takedowns, which I guess was enough for Su Yong Yu. Round two, Su Yong Yu wins. Outstrikes him 25-16 significantly. Shoots three takedowns defended, but got it done. Then Zhao Long explodes in round three and ends the fight. Like, literally Max Holloway pointing down, they're throwing down, and he is spamming elbows. This is really UFC 5 just spamming elbows. Like, he's literally, like, going right elbow, left elbow, right elbow, left elbow. It was awesome, and props to Su Yong Yu. That boy got a chin on him, but outstruck 41-23. It was the most certain round of the entire fight, which was a Zhao Long round, and if this had gone five rounds, he'd have knocked him out in round four, but unfortunately, our boy Zhang Lao loses, which was just heartbreaking. Just heartbreaking. So, yeah. Zhao Long no longer on his little win streak, which does break my heart. But you know what? We're getting this guy in the UFC, okay? Zhao Long belongs in the UFC. He belongs in the bantamweight division. And you best bet we can find a matchup for this boy. As for Su Yong Yu, I mean, this man continues to be on a tear. 16-3 now. His win streak, what's it up to now? I can't even, what is it at? 5? Is that 6? Is that 7? He's got a big win streak piling together for Su Song Yu. So good stuff for Su. He's now 2-0 in 2025, and I don't know what to do next with these guys. I really don't, because I feel like they both came out looking good, but also with stuff to fix. Like, Zhao Long has to start quicker, and Su Yong Yu has to finish much better, and also has to work on his takedowns, because they were some awful attempts. I can't tell if Zhao Long is just good at takedown defense, or if Su Yong Yu is just bad at shooting takedowns. So, I don't really know who these guys can match up with. If I'm being honest, the bantamweight division is just so deep, so deep. No one on this card. There's no one I can matchmake with on this card. Last weekend, UFC 319, do we have any bantamweights? I always like to look at past cards because recency can always tell us. We did have Miles Johns losing to Gene Matsumoto, so maybe Miles Johns takes on Su Yong Yu. That'd be a big opportunity for him. And we did have Elijah Smith and Toshiyama Kazama doing battle. So if they do bring back Toshiyama Kazama, they could have him fight Zhao Long. Or even we could just run Elijah Smith versus Zhao Long. So I think that would be a good matchup. So those are some recent guys that fought in August we can match make with. But I think both of these guys will remain. But Su Song Yu, 16-3, keeps his win streak. Next up, Yizha makes quick work of our underdog prediction. Now I do have to say, I do have to say, I would not have made, we're going to talk about it in a second, I would not have made my Charles Johnson pick without making the Weston Wilson pick. So Weston Wilson was the sacrifice to nail the Charles Johnson knockout prediction. But yes, Yizhan knocks out Weston Wilson in 37 seconds. This was as simple as just Weston Wilson is blitzed, dropped, gets back up, is then dropped again. 13 significant strikes, 2 knockdowns to 0. 0 strikes even landed. He threw 2. Threw 2, neither of them even landed for Weston Wilson. 37 second knockout for the minus 1500 favorite, Yizhan. Yizhan getting his 6th career knockout, 20th career finish. Yeah, this boy is good now. 26-5. Only loss in the UFC so far is Gabriel Santos. Yizhan's going to be getting a good name coming up next. But yeah, unfortunately, Weston Wilson, that'll do it. That'll do it in the UFC for Weston Wilson. 1-3, only win was over Jekka Saragai, and he has knocked out round one in all of his other matchups. So Weston, the first fighter on this card, we are sending to the regional scene. But as for Yizhan, you will remain. I wonder what to do. Featherweight division, always an interesting division, and this is only just one win, so we can't catapult him to the moon, but Featherweights. There's someone that's going to come to mind. Maybe Steven Wynn. You know the guy that knocked down Muhammad Yaha 6 times? I think that would be a fun fight. I think Yizhan coming off that big knockout versus Steven Wynn coming off that big performance, that would be a great matchup. Run it at the Apex, or hopefully on a card, but that would be a great Apex fight if you ask me, so that's what we should do next. And as for Weston Wilson, you and Wonder Boy just can't catch a break. Then next up, the biggest upset on the card, easily the biggest upset, and just kind of a sad thing to see. I mean, it's a realization. We came into a lot of realizations on this card. One being that Michelle Pereira is washed. Crazy. Michelle Pereira is washed. And yeah, Kyle Daukaus knocks him out in 43 seconds. Short notice, Kyle Daukaus now makes it 5 straight wins, 5 straight finishes, gets his 2nd career knockout. 14th career finish. Excellent work from Kyle Daukaus. Crazy. Michelle Pereira was in a main event less than a year ago and is now getting knocked out by Kyle Daukaus. Yeah, Michelle Pereira, a quick fall from grace, from an 8-fight winning streak to a 3-fight losing streak, and this was easily the worst defeat he's had so far. Now the elbows is what killed him. Oh my goodness, dropped, hit with a couple elbows, and that was that. Went out for a second before popping back up, but yeah, tough stuff for Michelle Pereira. Kyle Daukaus, crazy that this guy was cut in December of 2022 after just an abysmal run to his UFC career. 2-4, a no contest, to then go on a 4-fight winning streak, pick up 3 finishes, now come in, knock out Michelle Pereira, get a performance bonus. You love to see it. Good stuff, Kyle. Really happy for him. I mean, I always love when guys leave and come back, such as Yusuf Zalal, who we mentioned is taking on Josh Emmett. Love to see that from Kyle Daukaus. So what's next? I mean, clearly a big opportunity. Clearly a big opportunity for Kyle Daukaus. I'd even go as far to say Roman Kopylov versus this guy. That is how happy I am that he was able to get this win. That is how confident I am in Kyle Daukaus. So there's other options. Maybe Michael Okojacek, Gerald Mearsha. I mean, I really like the Michael Okojacek fight. If you ask me, I think that would be a fun fight. Speaking of Gerald Mearshart versus Michelle Pereira, that's the next fight you do there. Michelle Pereira, Gerald Mearshart is absolutely the next fight you have those two do. But yeah, Roman Kopylov or Michael Okojacek, I think those would be great fights for Kyle Daukaus. There's going to be a lot of middleweights out there for him to take on. Win here was just amazing for him. So Kyle Daukaus, 43-second knockout, just didn't get the quicker knockout of the night compared to Yizhan. But I will say the fact Yizhan did get a performance, his knockout was more cool, I think. But I will say the fact that it was such an upset, Kyle Daukaus deserves that 50K performance bonus. Next prelim up, and this one of my favorite fighters on the entire card, Rong Zhu dominates. Austin Hubbard, 30-27, 29-28, 29-28. My boy Rong Zhu getting it done. The crowd loves Rong Zhu. I have to say, this crowd was going electric the entire night. This was a 10 out of 10 Shanghai crowd. We have to come back here if we ever come back to Shanghai. I'm sorry, Macau. Shanghai is 10 times better. And they were showing their love for Rong Zhu. And by the way, Enbo did pretty good. 2-0 to start the night. They actually went 4-1 on the night. They were the highlight gym fighting out of Shanghai. And Rong Zhu making everyone proud. 101 significant strikes to 75 in favor of Rong Zhu. And he defends 10 of 12 takedowns from Austin Hubbard. The 2 he landed only got 1 minute and 2 seconds of control time across the entire fight. Rongzu, round one, did pretty good. Round two, dealt with some, you know, adversity from Austin Hubbard, but nothing much he couldn't overcome. Then 52 significant strikes in 29, defended 6 takedowns in round three. Domination from Rongzu. And make it 2 straight wins now for Rongzu, both in 2025. Excellent work. I love him. 27-6, and he's only 25 years old. Love you, Rongzu. Absolutely amazing. So what do we do next with him? Lightweight, tough to say. I love matchmaking on the same card. There's a guy named Gage Young who won earlier, who we're going to mention in just 2 fights won. Yeah, I say we do that. Gage Young, Rongzu, let's just keep Rongzu fighting guys like this. As for Austin Hubbard, yeah, you're cut. You're cut, buddy. 3 fight losing streak since coming into the UFC on a second stint. He has gone 1-4, and his entire UFC career is going to be summed up as going 4-8. Wow. Wow, just very abysmal. He was able to get 1 fight stoppage. I mean, Austin Hubbard is just not cut out to be in the, he can hang in the UFC. He just can't fight in the UFC, if you get my gist. But let's run Gage Young versus Rongzu. When we mention Gage Young, we can just say that. But excellent work from Rongzu in this matchup. Austin Hubbard, bye-bye. Then, easily the best knockout of the entire night. Easily the best knockout. I mean, Charles Johnson, Loner Kavanaugh. My favorite prediction. I always just have some favorite predictions. But the fact I said that Charles Johnson would get Loner Kavanaugh to quit and finish him was just amazing. I did not think it would be in this fashion, but this was amazing. Charles Johnson, you bloody, bloody legend. Now, round one. Loner Kavanaugh destroyed him. 36 in the strikes, 14. Went 0 of 2 on takedowns. Charles Johnson is just getting outschooled everywhere. But Loner Kavanaugh had just not really been a guy to go deep with someone of this level. Now, I know that he had gone the distance with Jose Ochoa and Felipe Dos Santos, but we had seen fading late on, and all of his finishes that came in round number one. Now, here, he had just unloaded the gas tank. Like, we thought we were maybe going to see a fight stoppage on the cage at some points, but, you know, he's able to survive. He was even throwing up a submission attempt heading into early round two, and then we start to go into late round two, and you see Loner fade. You slowly see him gassing out, and he goes hands down, backing up from Charles Johnson. Charles just clips him with a little straight hook, and he goes out cold, lands some follow-up punches, and Charles Johnson goes ballistic. This boy now is 18-7 and is 5-1 in his last 6. Like, Charles Johnson is so legit. He's ranked number 15. I'm bumping him up to 14 with this win, and I'm giving him a shot against Tim Elliott, against Steve Ercik, against Asuma Bayadox Perez, for goodness sakes. Let's give Charles Johnson a big opportunity after this matchup. Very happy for him. Very happy for Charles. This was a great win, if you ask me, and this will be his 7th career knockout, 11th career finish. And yeah, this was a guy who at one point was on a 3-fight losing streak people were saying should be cut, and he has quickly turned into the biggest prospect killer. I think he's passed Chris Rodriguez. I think Charles Johnson has passed Chris Rodriguez as the prospect killer. He's taken out Azat Maksoum, Jake Hadley, Joshua Van. In a year span, he has knocked out Loner Kavanaugh, Joshua Van. Crazy. Absolutely crazy. 50k performance bonus. Good stuff for Charles Johnson. But yeah, if I could pick anyone, really, number eight rate to Alex Perez, I think he deserves that shot. But you also have Tim Elliott at 10. He might be fighting up, though. So Steve Ercik at 11. I don't know. We'll have to see. As for Loner Kavanaugh, this is not the end, Loner. No, no, no. Loner Kavanaugh will be back. He's only 26. Like, come on. This was just too big of an opportunity for him. There's going to be fights to give him, maybe even just Kevin Borjas on the same card. I think that is just the easiest fight to do in the flyweight division. You can even do Ronaldo Rodriguez, Alessandro Costa's fighting soon. Like, there's going to be a lot of guys for Loner Kavanaugh to fight, such as the one I listed. So, Loner, don't get discouraged. Charles Johnson is just the prospect killer. After that, we got into our final prelim of the evening. You could just easily tell there was no structure to the prelims whatsoever, because for some reason, Gage Young and Mahashat was the final prelim, and I just threw out Mahashat because he was from Shanghai, but Gage Young does what he needs to do, 30-27, 29-28, 29-28, gets it done. Outstrikes him in every round, 112 significant strikes, a 66 total, lands 3 takedowns, just kind of outclasses Mahashat, which, you know, Mahashat, training out of Embo Fight Club, the only Embo fighter to lose. He's 1-4 in his last 5, 2 fight losing streak. I mean, yeah, Mahashat's probably going to get cut, 10-5 record, just can't hang in the UFC. I will say he is not as bad as that round two knockout Vyacheslav Borisov handed him back in 2023. But certainly the two fight losing streak has just kind of proven that he's just not really quality level for the UFC. So Mahashat back to the regional scene. How about we have Mahashat and Weston Wilson fight if we're going to keep either of those guys? And the winner can stay, loser can go. But yeah, no more to say on Mahashat. For Gaethje, you know, great win here, bouncing back. You know, he had lost on Damon's Contender Series, had lost his UFC debut in April, and now he picks up a win at 10-3. And I think this one just writes itself. Gaethje, Rong Zhu, send him another, you know, Rong Zhu has to avenge his buddy. Him and Mahashat are buddies, and Rong Zhu's coming in for revenge, and I think Rong Zhu could even finish Gaethje. But Gaethje, 25 years old, good stuff from Missouri, picking up the victory. Not much more to say. He just outclassed Mahashat and got decision victory. That's all we got. But with that, we dive into the main card where a lot of interesting things happen. So for starters, we get ourselves going with Tayalake Nuraje stepping in on short notice to fight Kiefer Crosby. And obviously, Tayalake is better. Tayalake is leagues better than Kiefer Crosby. But there was this weird thing. Tayalake landed a knockdown, and as Kiefer's getting up, he hits him with an illegal knee. I'm talking Piotr Jan Aljamain Sterling, but like bar for bar, same illegal knee. Literally, Mark Goddard allows time for Kiefer Crosby to like collect himself. He's standing up. He asks him, do you want to continue? Kiefer says, yes, I want to continue. The doctor says, it's okay. He then brings Tayalake to the middle and takes 2 points. Now, mind you, Aljamain Sterling said he couldn't continue. That's why that fight was stopped. This fight, Kiefer Crosby says, yes, I can continue. They take 2 points from Tayalake. 2 points literally means that if you were to win the next two rounds, it would still be a draw. Okay? Right after that, Tayalake blitzes him, takes him down, TKOs him on the ground. I mean, kid you not, right after that, literally 10 seconds after that happened, and Kiefer Crosby is now on an X tangent, saying that Mark Goddard absolutely screwed him, he should be fired or something. I do want to preface, is that Kiefer Crosby had previously gone 0-1 in the UFC, finished in round 1, so he's not good. Like, Kiefer Crosby is not good whatsoever. In fact, his UFC run is going to end here at 0-3, finished in round 1 in each of these matchups. So as much as he was complaining about it, look, he landed illegally. You said you wanted to continue. Of course he's going to go hunt for the finish. He had to. So Tayalake, good win here. Getting his first UFC win, 12-1. All 12 of those wins coming by finish. And this will be his 11th career knockout. The winning streak is at 6. As for Kiefer Crosby, now out of his 6 defeats, he's been finished in 5 of them. So bye-bye, Kiefer Crosby. I have seen the last of you. As for Tayalake, welterweight division, I love it. I love it. We got a good welterweight contender here. I know he threw an illegal knee, but you could easily bounce back from that. Look at Peter Yab. He's completely bounced back from that. So welterweight division, who do we have Tayalake fight? That, I think, is the golden question here, because I don't really know. You know, does he fight Elizios Lesque dos Santos? Does he fight Randy Brown? Randy Brown would actually be a super fun fight. Does he fight Neil Magny? I don't know how high level they view him, per se. I mean, do we give him all the way up to Wonder Boy? No, I'm just joking. But Tayalake will remain in the UFC. There's going to be welterweights galore for him to take on. How about him versus, who's that one guy? Phil Rowe. Phil Rowe versus Tayalake is a matchup that we can make just because it comes to mind. Maybe even Michael Chiesa. I don't know. But Tayalake, good victory. And that's right. He makes it 4-1 for Edbo Fight Club. The only fighter losing is Yizha. Oh, I guess Mahashat lost too. So Yizha won. So Mahashat, the only fighter from that gym to lose. So shout out to Yizha, shout out to Rong Zhu, shout out to Tayalake Nuraje, and shout out to the next guy, Suma Darji. Suma Darji absolutely schools Kevin Borjas. Boring fight. Boring fight. We don't have to act like the main card was nowhere near as good as the prelims. 30-27s across the board as Suma Darji outstrikes Kevin 73-16 significantly, 91-23 total, and yeah, 17-3 in round 1, 32-9 in round 2. 24-4. I mean, Kevin Borjas just didn't wake up. And Kevin Borjas did so bad here, I'm cutting him. I'm cutting Kevin Borjas with a 1-3 UFC record. Just literally nothing of appeal. Nothing of appeal. We could keep him to give Loner Kavanaugh maybe a layup knockout, but nothing of appeal here. I was just not happy at all with what I saw from Kevin Borjas. Now, I picked Sue Bedardji, by the way, so I just want to say that, but Kevin Borjas, this did show up. I will say, Sue Bedardji, you probably could have hunted a finish and gotten it, but 18-7 record, 2-fight winning streak now. I mean, this guy was on a 3-fight losing streak and is now 2-0 in 2025. So, Sue Bedardji, you will remain in the UFC. Good stuff, lad. I don't know if you're ready for a ranked opportunity, but I do think Bruno Silva has a fight coming up. You know, there's always Andre Lima's out there in the world. You can always just take out Loader Kavanaugh. Screw it. Why not? So, Sue Bedardji will remain. I'm cutting Kevin Borjas. You know, of all the fighters I'm cutting Dyarn or Gose, I'm cutting Weston Wilson, I'm cutting Austin Hubbard, I'm cutting Mahashat, I'm cutting Kiefer Crosby, and I am cutting Kevin Borjas. I think there's a lot of fighters on here who just don't need to stay in the UFC any longer. So, Sue Bedardji, excellent win. I'm always happy when you get the victory. After that, we dove into our heavyweight featured matchup, if you want to say, on the main card. Sergey Pavlovich, Waldo Cardoso Costa. This is the most heartbreaking fight I had on the entire card, as it is now evident that Sergey Pavlovich is a decision fighter. Tom Aspinall broke Sergey Pavlovich. Tom, what have you done? What have you done, Tom Aspinall? He broke him. He absolutely broke him. I had it 30-27 for Sergey Pavlovich. Judges had it 30-27, 29-28, 29-28. Round one, Waldo outstruck him 11-9 significantly. But, I mean, it was 11-11 total strikes. I mean, Sergey kind of attempted one takedown. Not much. Round two, Sergey outstrikes him 22-20 significantly and total. And round three, Sergey outstrikes him 30-14 significantly and total. I mean, this was so boring. So boring, I can't even comprehend it. The fact Sergey Pavlovich is the number three heavyweight in the world, and the fact Walter Cortez Acosta is number six heavyweight in the world, I hate to say it, Sergey Pavlovich is no longer part of the crew that would just absolutely starch guys. I mean, it is now Tom Aspinall, Ciryl Gane, Alexander Volkov, Curtis Blaydes, Halton Almeida. I don't even know if Curtis Blaydes is a part of this category or Halton Almeida. I mean, heavyweight division down bad. Heavyweight division is just down so bad. And Sergey Pavlovich would never be able to rematch Tom Aspinall. He would utterly and effectively lose. So, good win for Sergey career-wise. I mean, he's now on a 2-fight winning streak, 2-0 in 2025. But he's ranked number three. And no, he's not rematching Volkov. He's not fighting Ciryl Gane if he loses to Tom Aspinall. He's not fighting Tom Aspinall. In fact, Sergey Pavlovich, I think, is someone suggested he take on the winner of the number 7th ranked Marcin Tybura, who's taking on Ante Delage, who's debuting, coming over from PFL in on UFC Paris. I think that's what you do. So the winner of Marcin Tybura and Ante Delage versus Sergey Pavlovich, that's the fight you do. All right, other than that, yeah, pretty rough stuff. As for Waldo Cortez Acosta, I expected this. 14-2 now. Every single one of his fights is this distance striking battle. He's ranked number 6, and I think someone said Shamil Gaziev or Derek Lewis, either of those. Derek Lewis, Shamil Gaziev, let's make that. If anything, I'm going with Shamil Gaziev to try and break him into the top 10 again. But yeah, just pretty abysmal performance for both of these guys, and it really just killed all momentum. And momentum was not saved when Aljamain Sterling took on Brian Ortega. And I'm, you know, 50-45 across the board. Aljamain utterly destroyed him. I do have to say, Aljamain definitely should have finished Brian Ortega. I know Brian Ortega is hard to finish. I'll give him that, but he so should have finished him. I mean, this was just so evidently clear that Aljamain was leagues better than Brian Ortega. So, Funkmaster was coming in ranked at number 7. Just beat the number 5 guy. So, Aljamain will move up to number 5. I'm moving Brian Ortega down to number 7. I'm just flip-flopping them, if you ask me. Round 1. 27 significant strikes to 2. To 2 for Brian Ortega. Round 2. Aljamain, 13 significant strikes to 9. Round 3. 35 significant strikes to 21. Round 4. Aljamain finally just lands a takedown just for the hell of it. Round 5 lands 2. I mean, Aljamain just dissected Brian Ortega. 124 significant strikes to 55. 153 total strikes to 100. 3 of 6 on takedowns. 4 minutes of control time. Aljamain Sterling. Good freaking stuff. Good stuff now. And, you know, he's going to be 2-2 in his last 4. Going to be 2-1 at featherweight. Coming off a win now. But his only losses are Mosvar Evlov and Sean O'Malley. Sean O'Malley, former men's bantamweight champion. Mosvar Evlov, the number one ranked contender, who's undefeated at, what, 18-0? Is he? Is he 19-0 now? Oh, Mosvar's all the way at 19-0. So, Yeah, this fight sucked. Did not need to be five rounds. Could have been three rounds. But I really saw striking from Aljamain here, which I was surprised by. You know, I do have to say, Aljamain surprised me with his striking. It looked super crisp. He landed this elbow, which absolutely should have knocked out Brian Ortega. But since Brian Ortega has just an iron face, Aljamain Sterling was showing videos on his socials, and he has like a golf ball size bump on his elbow now. He was like showing his wife, and he's like, look at my titty. It was pretty funny. So, Aljo, happy to see you win. You're going to be ranked number five, which if you'd have told me he'd be coming in here at number five 2 years ago, I would never have believed you. But Aljamain is ranked at number five. What should be next? I don't really know what they're doing with the men's featherweight division, but if we want to do some quick matchmaking within the top five, since there's six guys, including the champion, let's do Volkanovski versus Lerone. We have Diego Lopez versus Gene Silva. Winner of that versus, I think, maybe Aljamain Sterling. I say you do, and then you just have Mosfar and Yair fight for the next title fight. So that's what you should do. Mosfar, Yair, making a fight night main event. Volk versus Lerone Murphy. The winner of Diego Lopez and Gene Silva takes on Aljamain Sterling. And, you know, out of all that, we can figure out some title challengers. As for Brian Ortega retirement, like, Brian Ortega, I think, should just retire because he missed weight at featherweight. And if anything, he could go up to lightweight, maybe, but I don't really know. If we really want to send him out the old Yeller way, Steve Garcia, Brian Ortega. But yeah, I think Brian Ortega should maybe just hang it up. This boy was not looking good. This boy looked like a ghost the entire fight. Yeah, Brian Ortega not doing too shabby. Two-fight losing streak, 1-4. In his last five, and he is 2-5 in his last seven. Yeah, been a rough stretch for Brian T-City Ortega. But with that, we dove into our main event, and man, I gotta say, Johnny Walker is back. He's such a meme fighter, and Zhang Mingyang, you have just been Johnny Walkered. So we start off the main event with a fake glove touch. Johnny Walker shoots for a takedown, literally just like Hamzat Chimaev, Kevin Holland, is immediately reversed, and Zhang Mingyang ends up in top mount, which then becomes top half guard. It was so funny, and I thought he was going to get TKO'd. Right off the bat, Zhang dominates in round one, 12 significant strikes to 9, gets a minute of control time, wobbles Johnny Walker here and there, and then round two, going back and forth, and then Johnny Walker lands a perfect leg kick. Truly, show this in kickboxing classes, a perfect leg kick on Zhang Mingyang, and just shuts down the leg of Zhang Mingyang. Like, it was game over. Zhang Mingyang's leg shut down, and I do have to say, he ate an insane 41 significant strikes in round number two before the ref finally stopped, and Mark gave him so much time, but Zhang just couldn't stand back up. The end of the day, Zhang just couldn't stand back up, and Johnny Walker gets his first win since, I kid you not, May 2023. Incredible stuff. Incredible stuff for Johnny Walker. His 17th career knockout, 20th career finish. Man, give him a performance bonus too. It felt pretty good for Johnny Walker. Now, my boy, Zhang Mingyang, obviously losing 19-7 now, but I do want to say this boy has 7 career losses. Out of those 7, he's been finished in 6 of them, and this was the first time he had left round 2 since 2018, and this is now the second time since he's left round 1 he has suffered a defeat. So clearly, Zhang Mingyang only loses when he goes to round 2. For Johnny Walker, just an amazing win. And honestly, even though the hometown Shanghai guy lost, China guy, Zhang Mingyang, I mean, the crowd is still buzzing for Johnny Walker. And I'm happy for Johnny Walker. Really, I am. This boy was in desperate need of a victory, and he shockingly gets it. So, Johnny Walker at number 13. I'd move him past Nikita Krylov to number 12. Who should he fight next? Well, I think if Dominic Reyes loses to Carlos Ulberg, you could have that matchup take place. You could have maybe the loser of Rakic and Ozma take on Johnny Walker, but certainly someone in the top 10. Johnny Walker's a guy, picks up one win, we could get him in the top 10. For Zhang Mingyang, it's kind of tricky. I don't really know. You could have him take on Nikita Krylov. You could have him take on Alonzo Menifield. I saw people throw out the name Ian Kudalaba. There's a lot of options for Zhang Mingyang, but I don't think Zhang Mingyang's going anywhere anytime soon. This does snap his legendary 12-fight winning streak, but that's just how it goes. So Johnny Walker ends the night with a knockout, and really, the main events in August for the UFC were utterly fantastic. I know people are going to hate on the Hamzat performance. I don't hate it at all, but both the Apex ones were good. We end here in Shanghai pretty good. August was a 10 out of 10 month for UFC events. Every single event delivered, both Apex events, UFC 319, and now Shanghai. Very happy with this card. Now, Did have some duds, but I do have to say, two of the five main card fights were the only ones that were good. On the prelims, we did run into probably about, you know, a couple boring decisions. But overall, a lot of good finishes, a lot of good moments. I think UFC Shanghai overall was a complete success. So good stuff to all of the fighters. Now, where do we go from here? Well, we're going to be taking this upcoming weekend off. We will talk about Clash in Paris on the next episode, but the next time we're with the UFC, September 6th in Paris, France, Nazarene Imavov versus Kyle Borallo. It's going to be amazing. I'm so pumped for it. I really am. Also, Benoit Saint-Denis, Mauricio Ruffy, Modestus Bukauskas, Paul Craig, Ferzayam is back, Omar Sy is back, Marcin Tybura, Ante Delage, super excited for that. Andreas Gustafsson, Rudolf Akhmedov is going to be crazy. William Gomez is back, Sam Patterson, Robert Brzezinski is on here against Brandon Vargas. That's not really that much big of a deal, but yeah, this Paris card is utterly and completely stacked. So, ladies and gentlemen, we will be back to talk about a whole lot of things, but that's all I got for today's episode. Shanghai was a great time. The upcoming episode of Daywise Qatar Series is going to be lots of fun, and I'm excited for the future of 2025. The future is bright. As much as my life is a struggle right now, I know that it can be much better than other people's, so it is what it is. I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. I always go on a little ramble at the end of the episode. How about we read a Bible verse? You know, should I do that now? I have this little jar of Bible verses Lexi got me, so we're going to read a Bible verse to end out this thing to be very wholesome, you know? This is James 1:19. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. That is some life advice for you gentlemen and ladies right there. Guys, have an amazing week. I'll be back later in the week with another episode. And as always, I'll catch you next time on the Surprise Jab Podcast.